to use one of the messages on the gates that I gave to you to share something. But last time I promised you I will give some test in asking you, did you do this? And some brothers say, when are you going to ask us? So I'm going to ask you now. Well, firstly, let me just ask this. Did you get into this material? More or less, did you get into this material? And I'd like to hear how you have been impacted by it, or moved by it, number one. And number two, what have you done about that, about if you're moved, if you're impacted, what have you done? So, Brother Lee always asks for a volunteer first. If there's no volunteer, then we drop the bomb. No need to be have false humility. False humility is also the flesh. It's not just pride. Humility is also the flesh, if it's false. So if you experience this positively, you just share it with us. Or if you failed, or if you didn't do so well, share it with us. And then we learn together.
Second, that the goal would be to gather others into that kind of a collective so that they would sit with you and then they would go about and live their life. Instead, we have this matter of the gates and the walls. And first of all, as the gates, we're those who can help usher some into the kingdom, into the Holy of Holies, into that city. And this is not a binary operation. It is not one moment you're outside and the next moment you're inside. This is a process that requires much cherishing and much nourishing. But then there's the matter of the walls, and I appreciate this fellowship earlier regarding the matter of the walls. And what are the walls? They're just the truth. We still have to uphold the truth. So we would not compromise on scriptural truths just to get someone into that city. We don't have a rock band. We don't have entertainment. Sorry, all we have are words of truth and life.
Amen.
So I appreciate that. What that has enabled me to do is recognize for those few saints that I do meet and those few people that I do contact, primarily through a Bible study that we have for some of the sisters, it's helped me communicate to them the difference. What is that difference? What is this church life? What is this ministry we're speaking of? This is spiritual food, and you're eating this food as you're walking down a path. Let's have some fellowship and prayer about where that path is leading us.
Very good. Very good. I like that very, very integral relationship between the wall and the gates. They're actually inseparable. If there's no wall, there's no need for gates. Walls are within the gates. And so you cannot talk actually about one without the other. And precisely, this is very good. We need both all the time. All the time. We don't just become just a bunch of gates with no wall. Of course, we shouldn't be a wall without any gates. This is very, very important.
Well, some practical things of reading the gates of the New Jerusalem is that I'm more consistent in passing gospel tracts. There was a time in which I was passing 100 a day. That was, a few years back. and I lost some weight actually when I was doing. But anyway, then as time went, I find out can I keep it up, and so then I would start doing one track a day when I walk the dog. Now I'm after reading the gates again, I'm reminded now I'm passing four. When I walk the dog once, it would be four. When I walk the dog twice, it would be eight. So and then Great Mall, I'm much more enthusiastic. Once a month at the Great Mall in Milpitas, we would have a tabling. And then by being enthusiastic, I think other saints, as the lead ones, practicing instead of, you do it, and I'll sit down. You go ahead. No, we practice, and then slowly more and more saints are practicing. Bible study on a Saturday with new ones at another brother, actually, who's a burden for African-American. I think you know the brother, Larry Townsend. I'm much more consistent going there after reading this about the gates. And we are also praying for what's happening in Addis Ababa. I know the information earlier because of that connection. So this message has been very helpful. Amen.
Well, if nothing else, I'd like to give a plug on the tracks because of BFA. Right? But you should read Pember. Pember, you know, the famous G.H. Pember. And I should have it somewhere. I would look for it maybe before we even leave today, on the importance of printed matters, the power of the printed matters. And you have heard stories about tract giving that Brother Nee talked very much about, citing stories and cases of others, how powerful that would be. Apparently, they all end up in the trash, and a lot of them will end up in the trash, but you never know that one track, and that will make it all worthwhile. And so I like to promote tracks, not because I'm BFA, but I really, really sincerely, especially for chicken Christians, which most of us are, this is a powerful way. You may say just a little bit. You know, in the principle of sowing, not just about sowing money, but sowing the seed of the word by these tracts, indiscriminately, widespread, I tell you, there will be in time the reaping. God who gives the seed to the sower and bread to the eater, he is the one who is going to cause the seed to grow. And so I just say this much. Go ahead, brother.
Praise the Lord. I like the refreshed and renewed understanding of the gates, because I grew up in the Midwest and nobody had gates. Nobody had walls. They were just open areas. But those who had them, and then you come to California, everybody's got them. And they're meant to keep people out. But the impression of this reading now is the gate is to bring people in.
Amen.
So we want to introduce people. We need to know where these gates are. We need to point them out, and we need to bring people in. This May, we were in Malta, and the brother Splendor from Alameda was with us. And we met a brother of a sister who's already baptized, and he's not been. And we pointed out, we talked to him about this information, and I just asked him, he says, brother, would you like to get baptized? And he said, yes. We went back to the room, the hotel room, we baptized him. It's what, if you just introduce people to the gates, bring them to the gates, they will come in, because what's on the other side is so wonderful, life eternal. And we need to do that with
Amen.
Everybody we meet. These gates are not to keep people out, but to bring people in.
Amen.
And that's our job now. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, some years ago, a brother and I would go out in door knock, and the area that we were door knocked was mostly Indians. So it was over time we realized it's very difficult to gain the Indians. So last fall, another brother and I we were praying about it, and we decided to set up a Bowers for America table at the DMV. And the DMV reaches all kinds of people. especially at the DMV, that we have a Bible School America table. We do it weekly, every week, every Monday, and we're getting a lot of Caucasians that come to that DMV, and African Americans, and a lot of Hispanic, of course, other people too. But it's really a good proportion to the demographics, because everybody has to come to the DMV at least once, right? So it's been very good, and little by little, actually, one brother was one contact from the DMV that we contacted right at the beginning last fall. He's already in the church life now. He's in the church in Chicago, and we have another one that we have a Bible study with, and the sisters are taking care of some. So it's a very good way. It's a very good fishing pond to gain the typical Americans, and that was our burden. Of course, we give Bibles to everybody. But there's a good ratio of typical Americans that come to the DMV. So I'm enjoying this, and I'm enjoying getting blended with a brother, serving together, and it's a very good way to contact people. There's only two places where people can have a table, and so the table right next to us is JW's. So we're not only there to contact the seekers and the chosen ones, but also as an anti-testimony to the JWs. Christ is God. Amen. Amen.
You know, brothers, this not only, the gate is not just a gate. There are outer gates, inner gates. So some of us are better as outer gates by the Lord's gift. Those are the evangelist, so to speak. Some of us are inner gates who will help people. We're not as good in gaining people, you know, in the first touch, but we are good in shepherding them forward, inward, into the deeper things, into the church life. But we work together. It is still one gate. And so the point is, we all need to be gates of one kind of another. You have message 3 on the two kinds of pillars. The outer pillars, those are the evangelists, the gospel preachers. You know, the tabling, all of this, the tracts. And then there are those who are inside that would, for people to enter into the holiest place. We need all kinds. And some of us are all kinds, and some of us, depending on our age and maturity, which our function may change over time. But never despise the outer gates. We need more evangelists. I'll tell you, the recovery needs more evangelists. We need more evangelism, really, as part of our church life. Otherwise, we're imbalanced. Just have a big wall. We need more brothers and sisters who have a burden for sinners, for souls, for men, right?
Amen. I was very got help from these two messages, first number one and number two. You know, particularly on the gate, you know. And when we're talking about a gate, we probably consider a lot of activities and what we need to do. And these messages help us, you know, what exactly, you know, the God has done, the trying God has done in that Luke 15, that parables. Amen. You know, and when we consider the activity, we need to consider it. We do the same thing as God do, you know, and to bring the people to, you know, to Him, and receive the people. And also from the second message regarding, and the God changed the name of the Abraham, it really helped us to touch the heart of the God.
Amen.
You know, He wanted to have a father of the multitude, you know, and increase in the church, and increase the number. So what we need to do, yeah. And we do what the God has done. And we do as same as what He has done. And also, you know, and according to His desire, and have the number increase in the churches. So.
Amen. Very good.
And regarding the DMV, I'm actually never thought of it. But this year, my wife was need to renew her license. And happens me going with her, because by 2020, everyone have to change to real ID, without which one you cannot fly anymore. Maybe something else. So until 2020, this is, will be a flow of majority of the Californians, probably whole U.S., must go to change that driver license into real ID. So I just thought, maybe this is a call now to pray and to consider that. I'm serious. Because until 2020, it's only half a year left. And some of the people have their birthdays throughout the year when they receive this letter. But some already will start considering not to live it until the last minute. You can do it even earlier, and which I did. But the thing is that this is only a certain period of time, right? And right now with all this, the flow of the another group of immigrants who are coming from the Mexico border, all of this, this is, will be forcing more and more of this real ID. So this is a, maybe a real call for us to consider to pray. DMV is a real pond where, and especially if Jehovah's Witnesses doing this, that's just, I mean, we really have the best truth, right? The people really to enjoy, and people really to be free in the church life. All of this will start happening, as that brother was shared, and it's a serious situation. On a Facebook, that's where not only the young one, it's actually all of us who have cell phone and internet start to be connected sooner or later to a certain degree. And to be really built up with each other, not just agree that we're proper and we're in a proper place, but really to be constituted with it, takes and requires us really to enjoy it. Otherwise, word enjoy in the church life would be the best part of the doctrine only. If we're not really experience this joy, not really enjoying this, then we have just no flow. And I just thought, these gates we've been, I've been going over also these messages. It's not just another best topic, right? It's just a matter, do I really enjoy? What is really going on within me? What do I seek in? What is my goals? What is the setting, right? What is my planning? What do I live for? What do I do really? How do I coordinate with others? How am I built up with others? How do I spend my vacation days, right? Sick days, everything we really earn at work or in life that we have. How do we plan in to spend it? What is that for? If it's just another leisure somewhere for a week, I mean, the reason I'm saying I'm just should be whole this week on a vacation, and I'm using it not just to go somewhere. But
hey,
the
Roman,
thing is,
give some others some chance.
Yeah, but I thought it's another opportunity while 2020 is the deadline for this real ID.
I like that. Hey, if this is happening, DMV is the place. it's almost better than college campuses, because. Because you get the whole population, the rich, the poor, the diverse ethnicities, the young, the old, men and women, everybody will be there. So, my goodness, how about all the churches have BFA tables all the time? Really? Those are gates. Otherwise, people don't know we exist. And they don't know where to find these riches. We're in hiding. We need to be exposed more. We need to be more visible. We need to be more in front of the people where they are. You don't need to get a kind of a permit.
So if you go down to the CHP office and fill out an application, that doesn't cost any money, it's free. But you fill out the application and put down the date that you want to have it, and then they'll give you a permit.
Oh, so it's quite easy. I mean, what is a better way? I think that's better than the mall. The mall, they're shopping, they're distracted. They hate that place, you know. They have to be there. They just They're looking for something to distract them. So I'm serious. That's where the people are. That's the marketplace. We need to go there, brothers. Let's get out of our meeting halls and go to the marketplace and contact the sinners and seekers. You just don't know who is there. Really, really. Okay, go ahead.
So I can't say it really started with just these studies of these outlines that were recently handed out, because it really started with, I think, Brother Monroe's first message on the gates, you know, in the South San Francisco Conference Center. And something Brother Monroe said at that conference really resonated with me, because, you know, I grew up in the church life. I had the truth, you know, and probably overflowing with truth, okay? But the one thing that Brother Monroe said that really touched me was, he mentioned this matter of a cold, steely heart. And I kind of asked the Lord, you know, Lord, is that kind of what I had become? Because, you know, we talk about we're these great walls, right? Nice, thick walls, lots of truth. But it's almost impossible for people to relate to us. And the area that the Lord's had kind of recently touched me a little bit more upon is really this matter of some of the dormant saints. It's not so much of the ones out there, you know, the new ones at the DMV office. It's just brothers and sisters, you know, especially in, mm-hmm. in Fremont mm-hmm. and Union City, Brother and Isaac mm-hmm. were just fellowshipping. There are so many millennial age brothers who and sisters who are not meeting with us anymore.
Right.
I hate to say it, I actually have some experience with that as well, too. And so maybe that's why the Lord's kind of placed me in this position, is because I can relate to, mm-hmm. I can understand why they are struggling with this. Mm-hmm. And brothers and sisters, it's really a matter of our heart.
Mm.
You know, I don't know. I've taken the Myers-Briggs personality test. I'm definitely not a person to be talking about heart. Mm-hmm. But here I am in a meeting with 200-300 brothers. And I'm telling you, it's a matter of the heart.
Amen.
You know, the saints know if you care for them,
right.
if you really love them,
right.
or if you're just there trying to get them to go to the meeting.
Right.
If you're just trying to get them to go to the meeting,
right.
they'll never reply to your text.
Right.
They'll never want to meet with you. But if you genuinely care for them,
amen.
If you really ask the Lord, break my heart
amen.
For the sake of the saints,
amen.
So they can come, you can bring them back to the Father's house.
Amen.
They will know. It doesn't even matter what you say to them, almost. They just sense it. And I, you know, gradually, you know, some of these dear brothers, you know, they don't reply to the first text. They don't reply to the second text. They don't reply to the 60th text. But eventually they reply, mm-hmm. right? And if you go to them with really a heart of love, it touches them. They know, and they're willing to come back to you again. It's not about feeding them some ministry or some, you know, word that's going to suddenly change their life, right? And they're going to go back, and the next day, you know, they're going to come to all the meetings. No, it's really just about caring for them one
Amen.
By one.
Amen.
And the Lord's gate started me off with a couple of brothers.
Amen.
Now he keeps giving me, or the saints keep giving me, other brothers. You know, these other ones that we all deem as needs special, more work, right? They'll take care of the good material. You know, you hear Brother Sam here, you reach out to this one that takes a little bit more work. But you know what? I can tell you, brothers and sisters, along the point of, it is so much better to give than to receive.
Amen.
It is so much better to take care of someone than to be taken care of.
Amen.
I cannot tell you how much more grace the Lord has given me just by going out and reaching to these ones that need it and having something to supply them. The Lord really, the more you give, the more the Lord gives you.
Amen.
Well, this is a big one. This is a big one. The last session is on the enemy trying to tear these people away. That means our job is to restore them. The restoring of saints is a big ministry. I use the word ministry. It's a big, important service. And usually long-term. And so some of us who are not as evangelical in our nature or in our, you know, in our personality, we can do a lot of work of restoration and healing and recovery. that takes a lot of heart, a lot of heart, and so and a lot of patience. So, goodness, if the churches, their saints, were constantly burdened this way, we'll bring back many.
Amen.
We'll bring back many.
Amen.
To God's house.
Amen.
And, you know, I, you know, even this morning listening to this, I'm even more encouraged to stay with this line.
Amen.
Until the churches in Northern California's complexion changed.
Amen.
We look different. We become a different kind of church that people can feel. And what is that? That is a church filled with love. Love prevails, filled with love. The loving heart of the Father God. And filled with the shepherding spirit of the Savior Christ. And just filled with concern with for souls and for people. If we have that change of heart, heart transplant, let me tell you, activities will work. Activities will follow. But if you just aim at gospel activities, let's do more. We've done this. It'll run out because the heart has not changed. We change activities, but the heart is still steely cold. So these days, we talked about it last night with some brothers. We need to warm up the churches and keep the churches as a high, at a high temperature. Warm, family, friendly, approachable, accessible, receiving, full of kindness, full of compassion, full of care, full of heart. I tell you, if the church, the individual heart of each one of us and the collective heart of a local church is like this, let me tell you, people will even come without you doing too much because the temperature is right. I use the word for any, for a forest or a for some landscape to thrive, it depends on the ecology, the word ecology of that place. If the ecology is good, you almost anything grows. But if the ecology is bad, nothing grows. The problem is not the seed, it's the ecology. The church life must have an ecology, a spiritual-human ecology. And I submit that over the years, the one reason for our lack of increase is we have the wrong ecology. It's not wrong intention or even no burden. It's the ecology of the church is not there. Now, this ecology, there are many aspects to it, but I like to say it starts with the heart. The ecology starts with the heart, both personal and collectively. So now I know when we use the word love, it gets kind of syrupy. It gets a little like love, you know. But brothers, it's time we talk about love. I wrote a hymn, you know, on love. Did you get my hymn on love? It's called O Perfect Love. O Perfect Love. Do you want it? I can send it to you. In fact, I can send it to you now so we can sing it. This song is based on 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. And because of my own failure, my own shortages in this matter, personally, I am always very, very longing that I can have the love described by Paul in that chapter. And I got into the chapter. I studied it. I opened to the Lord about it. And I'll tell you, it's not just a one-time thing. I hope these days you all would print out that chapter and put it on your refrigerator or on your in your Bible or somewhere and look at it and read it every day. 1 Corinthians 13. And pray read it. The best thing is to pray read it and pray read it slowly. For example, love does not brag. Just four words. It's one of the many descriptors of love in that chapter. Love does not brag. What does that mean? Well, pray read it. Pray read it. I pray read it. Now I'm beginning to a little bit more realize how bragging is against love. I thought bragging is pride, nothing to do with love. But bragging has to do with love. Love does not brag. So suddenly you realize that love is indeed the consummate virtue of Christ, even God himself. We know that in truth. But truly in reality, we need Christ to be this love for everyone, from our wife to our children to the saints to sinners. Peter's word is, in the development of all human virtues, the final consummate is love, not just brotherly love, but love for all. And so we need to be stretched. We need a heart transplant. So I have this here, this song here we can sing before we leave. Who do I send it to? Yeah? I can send it to you right now, huh? Thank the Lord for technology. And I don't care if you spread this. I don't care if it goes viral. Okay. All right. So thank you, brother. That is a very good thing. Now, because of time, I'm very, very encouraged by this speaking. This speaking gave me a lot of feeling, a lot of feeling that we're on the right path. We can do a God-ordained way training. I can do a vital group training, blindfolded. Trust me, I got into those things. But I have been very, very restrained. Even as we're burdened for the increase and spread, to not do those things. Because I know very easily we gravitate towards way. Do this, do that, do the home meeting, do the twos and threes. They all have their place. They all have their place, and they're all vital, important. But if there's no change of heart, none of these things are sustainable. None of these things will last. But when there's a true change, a real breakthrough, and actually I like the word someone said, if the Lord can break our heart, the Lord can break our heart, then we become a gate. If the Lord break our marriage, my marriage will be a gate. If the Lord would break the church, your church will be a gate. You follow me? So this is what we need. So I'm not going to get into this message, metaphor. It is concerned from based on that very classic message on love prevails in the book Vital Groups, Love Prevails. Let's just stay here. Let's just stay here because this is all important. This is all important. Some of these accusers on the internet, they say the recovery has no love. You know, the recovery, they accuse us right now that we have no love. We discipline people. You know what I mean. The recovery has no love in the recovery. And so that's why we leave, something like that. Well, I have two reactions. Number one, I don't agree with that. I experience love all the time in the Lord's recovery. Don't you? I do. Really, I really mean it. My coworkers love me. I know that. The saints love me, pray for me. I know that. I'm a very lucky guy being surrounded by so-called loved ones or lovely ones. Without that, I won't be able to stand here. I know the brothers love me. So who is to say we have no love here? Now, we don't have honey here. Do you follow me?
Yes.
There's many kinds of love. We don't have honey love. Honey ferments. Honey corrupts. We have salt. Even our love has salt, meaning the cross, meaning it's not natural, meaning it does not corrupt. Okay? But it does not mean we have no love here. But I have another reaction, and that is, yes, we are short of love. I don't need the internet to tell me, by the way. I admit it, and I say so. Paul's contrast in 1 Corinthians, you know, this is chapter 13. With love, the contrast, do you remember what it is? Knowledge. Knowledge. All right? Even in this chapter, you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues. It's like brass. You remember that? Prophecy will fail. You know what I mean? But love never fails. This is the chapter. And in the previous chapter, he talked about knowledge against love. You know, the Corinthians, they were, even Paul gave credit to them. You have knowledge. You are gifted. You speak in tongues. You have gifts. He was saying, you know, you got it. Of course, they're filled with problems, that church. But they have some good gifts. Then Paul even, he said what? Love builds up. Love builds up. Love is intangible. Love is, you cannot grasp it. Love is hard to define. Love is, eludes you. But yet love is the most real thing. In fact, it is the most powerful force in the universe, both divine and human. Love is the most powerful force. Love conquers everything. Love breaks through everything. Love endures everything. Love hopes everything. Love believes everything. There's nothing that love cannot do. And so if we are a Christian, consummately, if we experience Christ, his humanity, the humanity of Jesus, consummately, you become a man of love. Brotherly say a man of life, you know, a man of life, Romans, right? But I will tell you, a man of life, yes, but life's consummate expression is love. So a man of life actually is expressed, the life within, as a man of love without. So when there's no love there, or there's a lack of love, I tell you, it's like you're missing everything. You have many things, gift, knowledge, profit, all kinds. But you don't have love, basically you have nothing. Even compared to what? Faith and hope, right? Three things? Faith, hope, and love, the three main things, right? What? The greatest of these is love. I like the churches in Northern California to pursue love. Amen. Paul said so. Amen. Even in talking about prophesying, he said, pursue love. So you prophesy. If you don't, you just prophesy knowledge. It doesn't build. When there's love, then it builds. Everything will fade away, but love will never fade away. Brothers, this matter, you cannot, it's not a piece of knowledge. It's not, you don't just pick it up, because it has to do with the heart. The heart is the loving organ. But it is also start with the spirit. We have a spirit of love, right? God has given us a spirit of love. That's the source of the divine love. But it is loved through the soul. We don't love people just with the spirit. My spirit loves you. No, the spirit is the source of love because God is in our spirit. But we love others through our soul. Our soul, our mind, our emotion, our will. We love even God in that way. And we love one another in that way. And we love men, all men in that way. So this very, very difficult subject, a very, very kind of ungraspable, intangible subject we have to face. I like to say we in the local churches are lacking in this prevailing love. And I'm not saying we don't have it. I didn't say that. I'm saying we're lacking in that. And if by the Lord's mercy, this love is increased in the churches, individually and together, I tell you, gospel will be there. Wayward ones will return. And our church life will be a lot warmer. There will be a lot more mutuality and intimacy. I said a lot of our churches have adopted a culture of coldness, of something official. Even Brother Lee was so strong in dealing with me. He said a certain spirit of legality has come in. He was touching me when he spoke that in the book Words of Love. And that's when he talked about the loving heart of the Father God. He said, we have lost this in the recovery. The loving heart of the Father God and the shepherding spirit of God the Son. You know, Luke 15. And it is also helpful if you can go back and read the Gospels about the Lord. The Lord's compassion, the Lord's kindness, the Lord's heart for sinners. In myriad stories and cases and even parables that he gave. It has to start with us, brothers. You know, one day you see a saint stand up, a brother, and he start opening his mouth to give a testimony or whatever, sharing. Instantly you sense something has broken in him. Something broke. I don't know what. Something broke in him. Maybe through the Lord's discipline in his environment, maybe through some illness allowed by the Lord, maybe some tragedy in his human life, maybe through which the Lord dealt with this person. That's changing from Abram to Abraham. He didn't even do much, but he stood up, a broken man. Before that, he stood up with eloquence, with accurate truth, but a whole man, W-H-O-L-E. One day, he stood up. You sense there's a crack there. You sense something broke there. You then also sense life coming out of it. You know, Paul says, death works in me, but life in you. That's transformation. That's breaking. And so you sense that. You sense that. Now, the same thing with the gospel or with people, not just in a meeting giving a testimony, just with people. If you are a broken person, I tell you, people will know. They flock to you. They open to you. They find an avenue in you. They find a way in through you. They gravitate to you. But if you are not, you can have the highest sermon. You have the best truth. It's good, but not the same kind of effect on people. And you cannot fake it, this one. You cannot artificially make it up. Either you are that way or you are not. The same thing can apply to a whole church, a whole local church. And I say again, brothers, that the church reflects the leaders. So if the leaders are that way, trust me, if the leaders are cold, the church is cold. If the leaders are love, that church is full of love. And the saints will sense it. The saints will sense it. And after a while, when you build up a church like that, that church is automatically a gate. Automatically a gate. Anytime anyone comes, they will feel welcome. They will feel a way in. It's just there. It's not just the activity. The heart is right. The heart is right. So there's no more words on this. You cannot teach it. I cannot teach this. To teach you to have this kind of heart, it doesn't work. You have to acquire it. And the way to acquire that is by you and me experiencing to a higher degree of the Lord's love towards you and me. If the Lord's love to you and me is not fresh, I tell you, there's no fresh operation of love to make you this way. Okay? And the second thing is, you have to bathe in the, besides bathing yourself in the freshness of the Lord's love, I mean, how many of us get up, go into the shower, all right? The Lord's redeeming love. I'm not talking about anything further. Just his redeeming love would reach you again. Like you just got saved. Like you just got saved. The freshness of the Lord's salvation, the freshness of God's love reaching you, it's like yesterday. If we're not in that freshness, our gospel has no power. Has no power. Or our shepherding has no power. And then we not only need to have moments, more moments like this, we need to open really very particularly, very intentionally, open to the Lord about this matter, that is the heart, our heart, our heart's condition. Don't pray to the Lord about multitude of things. go to the Lord and stay with the Lord just about your heart. You know, the Lord may even cause you to roll on the floor, to weep, to cry out when you realize how stony, how steely your heart really is, that you don't even know how stony it has become. The Lord may even touch you. See, man, this is how you are to your wife. That's it. This is how you're to your wife. Start there. Before the sinners, how are you with your wife? Do you love your wife like I do, like, you know, in this way? Oh, I tell you, the repentance, the dealing, I tell you, brothers, open to the Lord intentionally about your heart condition in this respect. Spend time. Spend days. Maybe spend weeks until the Lord begins to get through in you. You know, the Lord touched me. Love endures, is that right? He says the one line is, love is patient, love is kind, right? Patient, endurance. Then I'm beginning to realize in my relationship with my wife, I say I love you, you know, honey, I love you, right? But really, my impatience, my easily getting upset by her, my intolerance of this and that, what love? I'm saying that. And I mean that. But it's not lived out. It's not lived out. The Lord say, you're like this to your wife, and you go and preach and speak in a conference about love to the saints. That's hypocritical. You're a hypocrite. Me, I'm a hypocrite. Brothers, have dealings with him. I'll tell you, these days in the church, we're not short of the truth. We need to pursue the truth, okay? Don't stop. But that's not our lack. Relatively speaking, in the recovery, we're lacking in love. People don't understand your truth. Everyone can feel the presence of love. Therein is accessibility. Therein is admission. Therein is entrance. It's a love gate. The real gate is a love gate. How many of us drop a tear when we consider a certain brother who has gone off, or you know what I mean? Needs help. We dutifully go and do something or fellowship. How much of that is from your heart? How many tears? You know, Paul did. He said 3 years day and night with tears. I said, Paul, come on. You're a great gifted speaker. You don't need tears to talk about God's economy. With tears, he talked to them. Why? Why do you, Paul, need tears? My answer is because his whole heart is in it. He did not do a job on these Ephesians. He loved the Ephesians. And that's why he spoke to them, not withholding any counsel from them. The motive is love, even in his teaching and instructions. I just was with a brother from another state coming. He wanted to have a time with me. He's a serving one. There's some issues, this and that. I said, brother, there are issues. But, and we need to deal with some issues here, Okay? We're not whitewashing anything. But I said, brother, those issues are easy. We can deal with them. We can work them out. I said, brother, my heart is not on those issues. My heart is on you. I said, I care for you. I'm not here to fix you up. I'm not here to shape you up. I'm not here to, you know what I mean? Make you good, make you right. I said, my heart is for you, and I meant it. My heart is for your future. My heart is for your service. You know. Brothers, when we care for people in this way, that care will have impact, will have its results. You don't even try to make something happen. But you have to be the channel of love, of God's love first. And that channel is seeking what? Seeking a self, what, self-bound soul? Yeah, I like that song, Oh Mighty Love. What is that? To train me as some strong tie, especially on the ways. Seeking a channel in a self-bound soul, a bound soul. That means a soul with no cracks, with no opening. It is all insular. It is just self-centered soul. Seek the love, that tide is seeking a channel through you, to flow through you. What is the last line? Huh? Yeah, yearning to sweep all barriers away. You know, yes, that refers to the Lord's love coming into us, you know, all the barriers. But I think equally, love flowing out of us, that song absolutely applies. Now, don't go home and say, saints, we need love. Let's have a love feast, you know. Let's let's do the love thing now. Let's have a love in, you know. No, please don't do that. Please don't do that. But I think you know what I'm talking about. Northern California churches, we are at a threshold. We are at the edge. Let's give the Lord the ground to break through us individually and collectively into this realm. And I guarantee you, God-ordained works, vital group works, home meeting works, almost everything that you touch will be a gate, because you are a gate. Okay? Amen. You have a few minutes just to sing my song. Amen. There's a tune in there. Is it in there? Okay, play it, please. And we'll go. Sorry, keeping you a little later.
The soul to sing, free from all jealous thought and boastful feeling, may I this love divine to others bring. Oh, selfless love, 'tis never not its own things, never provoke, nor counting evil doing, let this blood echo forth from my heart strings. Oh, noble love, in righteousness rejoicing, a love that cheers wherever truth is king. It covers all things and believes in all things. It hopes all things and will endure all things. Oh, lasting it fades not, near abating, timeless and strong prevails o'er everything. When knowledge fails and gifts are unavailing, may I be found in its eternal.
The last stanza again.
Oh, lasting love.